There ought to be a few witnesses here that won't mind acknowledging that great is the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, look at somebody and tell them he's worthy. I'm going to ask every head to be bowed for just a moment. Lord, we thank you. We honor you in this place. We magnify your wonderful name. We give you praise because you deserve the honor. We thank you for bringing us to this place and at this time. And I pray even now for the kind of anointing that makes preaching possible. Use me tonight. Not that men and women and boys and girls would marvel over me, but that they may glorify you. For you are the source of our strength. And you're the strength of our lives. And your name is worthy to be praised. Have your way in this place. God, you get the glory. Satan, you're still a liar. The blood of Jesus is against you. We claim victory right now over every demon, every devil, every hindering spirit. It is in Jesus' name we count it done. And all the people of God shouted amen. Come on, say amen again. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise and bless him all over the building. To God be the glory. Yeah. For the great things that he has done marvelous things. Look at somebody and say, I'm still glad about it. Yeah, woke me up this morning, started me on my way, kept me when I couldn't keep myself. And I just want to praise him anyhow. Touch your neighbor and say, I'll praise him anyhow. I'm glad we got the musicians, but I'll praise him anyhow. I'm glad that there's a singing choir here, but I'll praise him anyhow. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, yeah. Ah, Lord, we bless him. We bless him and we honor him in this place. You may be seated if you can. We thank God for this opportunity that he has provided for us to be here at the Greater Brookville Baptist Church. And we're thankful for this great man of God. Amen. That's right. That's right. That's the way you do it. Yes. Yeah, he's the mouthpiece. He's the angel of this house. And we honor and we thank God for Pastor Leroy Mitchell. Come on, give it up for Pastor Mitchell. Thank God for his presence. Thank God for his leadership. Thank God for his growth. He came around in 89. Now, the way I remember the story is that I didn't push him out, but I did see destiny. And when you see destiny and see reality, no need to try to hold on to some folk. And so I thank God for Pastor Mitchell and thank God for his lovely wife. First Lady's in the house, in the house. First Lady Mitchell. the first family, y'all know I'm very biased to first families and the first ladies. I'm very biased. My great-grandmother was a first lady. My grandmother was a first lady. My mother was a first lady. My aunts were first ladies. Yeah, I'm very biased. My wife is a first lady. I got sister-in-laws that are first ladies. And if my son keeps listening to me, his wife going to be a first lady. And so I thank God for our first lady and for the first family. I'm very biased to preacher's kid because I was a preacher's kid. And the reason why the preacher's kid's so bad because they hung around the deacon and trustee kids. And I'm thankful to God for the first family. And we're just delighted to be here in Lynchburg. I'm grateful to be a part of this series of services, and I'm thankful to have been here tonight to hear this choir. Yeah. My. And before I give more about the choir, that praise team was off the chain. My. And then this wonderful choir, who was the ramp choir, I believe they said. My. That's the first time I heard a ramp, but I tell you one thing, I won't forget this one. Yeah, this is some choir. The harmony, you can hear the parts, and the musician, I'm telling you, he's something else. He's one of the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. He's a bad Negro. And percussionist, I just have been in feasting since I've been here tonight on this wonderful service that God has provided for us tonight. Thank God for our officers. Give a hand to the officers. Amen. So what a blessing. And our visiting and associate ministers, thank God for you. I'm always, always honored to have preachers in the house because they know the principles of sowing and reaping. If they don't say amen while I'm preaching, they'll be preaching, won't get an amen. And so we thank God for our preachers. I'm not going to detain you any longer. I do want to share a word that's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 21. John, chapter 21. And if you don't mind, if you would stand with us for the reading of the word, we would appreciate that. John, chapter 21, and beginning at verse 3. And it says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. You may be seated. I want to talk tonight from the subject, you can recover. Touch somebody nearby and tell them, say, you can recover. Yeah. Pastor Mitchell knows how competitive I am. I don't believe that you ought to play the game and keep the score and said, we're playing for fun. Recently, Pastor, we did our annual fishing trip. And I just believe that you can be saved and have fun. I feel sorry for the folk that always got to look like they half dead. Every now and then, you ought to find something to laugh at. In fact, I look for something to laugh at every day. If I don't find it, I look in the mirror and just break out laughing. And so we went on this fishing trip, and I was disappointed. I was let down because there was a man on the trip that was blind. Well, that's what he claimed to be. He was blind, but he was blind, and he caught more fish than I did. And I was bothered by that, that here is a blind man. Like I said he was blind. Because we were on the bus, and he told the bus driver to get in the right lane and make a right turn. And when you get to the stoplight, make a left turn. So I'm still wondering how blind he was. But it sort of reminds me, Pastor, about this restaurant that this Englishman went into, and when he went into the restaurant, he saw a man sitting over there, and he looked and saw and kept looking, and he sat down, and he said to the waitress, says, "Listen, is that Jesus over there?" And the waitress said, "Yes, that's Jesus." And then a Scottish man came in, and he looked over and saw in the corner. He said, "Wait a minute, waitress, is that Jesus over there?" She said, "Yes, that's Jesus." He said, "Well, whatever he's eating, I'm going to pay for it." The Englishman said, "I'll pay for the tip then." But then a brother came in and saw him over there and said, "Wait a minute, is that Jesus over there?" He said, "Yes." She said, "Yes, that's Jesus." He said, "Well, I'll pay for the drinks, all the drinks he had." And so after a while, Jesus got up and walked over and shook hands with the Scottishman. And the Scottishman had problems with his knees. And immediately when he touched Jesus, he jumped up and said, "I'm healed." The Englishman, Jesus shook his hand, and he had back problems. And immediately when he touched Jesus, his back was straightened up. And he hollered, "I'm healed." Jesus came over toward the brother and was getting ready to shake his hand. He said, "Hold up, Jesus, I'm still on disability." I think that blind man was on disability. But he caught more fish than I did, and I was thoroughly disappointed. And many of us in life have encountered situations that have disappointed us. In fact, you don't have to raise your hand. I know you're in here tonight. You're dealing with the frustrations of failure. You tried and you tried. Looked like instead of things getting better, in some cases they've gotten worse. You thought your doctor's appointment would give you good news, but yet the diagnosis doesn't look good. But I've come tonight to tell you, all the way from Petersburg, Virginia, no matter how you've been mistreated, how you've been messed over, how you've been hurt, how you've been talked about and criticized, humiliated, I've come to tell you tonight that you can recover. Somebody holler, say, "I'm going to recover." One of the reasons I can say this without shuffling or being afraid to stand on this word that I've read in your hearing tonight, Jesus is now in the post-resurrection experience. You know, Jesus made several appearances after he got up from the grave. You know, that's our bragging rights. Yeah, they talk about Shintoism and Taoism and all these other isms, but we got a Savior that they hung up high and stretched out wide, and he died. But early, God, I get happy. I get happy when I think about the fact that he got up with all power in his hand. And within the 40 days while he was here, he made several appearances. And while he was here, his disciples saw him. They saw him come through the door. He didn't knock at the door because he knew they were too afraid to open it. But he came through the door. And then they saw him when Thomas, who was not there at the first appearance, and Jesus showed up and Thomas saw the nail prints in his hand.
Yes, sir.
And Thomas had to admit that he now believes. But Jesus says that it's not being blessed to see and then believe, but it's blessed to believe and then see. Some of them folk in church, not here in Lynchburg, are from Missouri, where they got to see it first. And so Jesus made several appearances, but this is the third appearance of Jesus. And it happens after Peter. Y'all know Peter, don't you?
Yes, sir.
If you don't remember none of the disciples, you ought to remember Peter. Peter was some kind of character. Peter was packing. You ought to touch your neighbor and say, "Are you packing?"
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Peter cut a man's ear off because he had something to cut it off with. You better be careful how you mess with some church folk, because some of them still packing. But Peter not only was packing, he was cussing. Oh, yeah. You got to be careful how you run up on some saints. You push the wrong buttons, some stuff will come out that you don't want to hear. Yeah. But in spite of his flaws, in spite of his failures, we got to recognize that God still had a work for him. I know I'm not talking to some of these super saints, those who are so deep and so sanctified, and they live above sin. That's only because they got an apartment above a sinner. I know I'm losing some of y'all, but I'm glad that God looks beyond our faults and meets our need. Anybody glad about that? I'm glad that I'm still under construction. And so Peter was some character, but he announces to a few of the disciples, he says, "I'm going fishing." He announces that he's going fishing, and they joined in and decided to go with him.
Yes.
And when they went, they fished all night long and caught nothing. How many of y'all ever been fishing and didn't catch nothing? I used to love to go with my uncle who, whenever he would fish and didn't catch none, he said, "The fish won't in there this today. They're on vacation." They caught nothing, which indicates that now mentally and emotionally they have to deal with the reality that they ended up with nothing. And so When I looked at this passage, I now understand the frustration that Peter and the disciples had when they have tried to do something that seemingly was harmless. But when you really look at it, you got to recognize that what they did was not bad in a natural sense, but in a spiritual sense it was. It was bad because, first of all, they acted impulsively. Yeah, they acted impulsively. They decided to go back to business as usual. And you know, there's a lot of coded language out here today by one candidate that's running for the office that's saying, "Let's make America great again." That's coded language to go back to business as usual. I've seen pastors, I've seen churches where when the pastor leaves, you got folk in the church that want to go back. Now we can take it back to where it used to be. This idea of going back to business as usual, I watched young men who were incarcerated who have come out of prison with the mind to do right, to do better. But a society that says, "I'm not going to give you another chance." And so your voting rights are in question. And all of these things. And the community has been saturated with car lots and barbershops. And so when they cannot do what they think they should, they go back to business as usual. And so now we have the disciples who are acting impulsively. Impulsive buying to me is always tricky. I believe, sisters, if when you see that hat or you see that those shoes that you just dying to have, you ought to wait 30 days. And if you still want it, then buy it. But I've also seen people being impulsive in relationships. In fact, I got to be prophetic for just a moment, because some of you all ought to admit that the relationship you're in, you got into it too quick. Oh, help me. Don't make me read in here. You could have ate him up. Now you wish you had ate him up. Impulsively. But not only they act impulsively, they also acted independent.
Yes, sir.
And any time you act independent of God, that's sin.
Yes, sir.
You can say what you want about Adam and Eve, but the bottom line, the main thing that they did wrong was act independent of God. And that's sin. And so they acted impulsively, they acted independent. But when Jesus comes to them, and notice, he initiates the recovery. I don't miss this point. Jesus is the one who initiates the recovery. They don't come after him. He comes after them. And when he arrives there, he simply says, "Children, do you have any meat?" Now, you check the record, but throughout the Gospel of John, I don't see the Lord calling them children, which says something to me about their level of maturity. So not only did they act impulsively and acted independent, but they were showing immaturity. You see, I don't think that you are mature when you cannot handle responsibility. Oh, help me. I never forget when I announced to my father and my mother, "I'm going to get married." Daddy took away the key. I said, "Daddy, why are you taking the key?" He said, "Because you don't live here no more." I said, "What you mean?" He said, "I'm going to help you fulfill the scriptures. The scripture says leave and cleave." And so he took away the key. In other words, he says, you got to be responsible for your family. And so the disciples are not only acting impulsively and independently, but they're acting immaturely. He says, "Children, do you have any meat?" Here, these men been fishing all night. They have failed miserably. Like some of you, they're disappointed, they're distraught, they're disturbed by what has happened. But how do you recover is the question that I want to answer tonight.
Yes, sir.
Anybody here want to hear?
Yes, sir.
How can you recover from a falling and a failure and frustration? Because, you know, frustration comes about when it does not meet expectations. And you need to understand that some of the expectations we have are off the chain because it does not have authorization. You should never have expectation without authorization. Oh, help me in here tonight. And so they have failed, but they're frustrated, and because their expectations did not come as they expected it, but they never got the proper authorization to do it anyhow. And so Jesus shows up in spite. Anybody glad that the Lord shows up in spite?
Yes,
in spite of me. He shows up. He shows up. And the first thing, and this is what I see and what the Holy Spirit has revealed to me about how to recover. First of all, you got to be truthful.
Yeah.
Touch somebody and say,
be truthful.
Jesus simply says, do you have any meat? And what did they say? No. They said, nada. See, some folk lie about anything.
Come on.
Oh, we just got a little. We ain't got a whole lot. We just got a, they ain't have nothing.
No.
They had nada. And Jesus wants us to be truthful if we want to recover, if we want to get back on our feet, if we want to rebound, we got to be truthful.
Yes, sir.
Nobody can experience change without admitting where they are. Touch somebody and say, you got to be truthful. But not only do you have to be truthful, you got to be teachable. Notice that after they admit that they don't have anything, Jesus simply says to them, cast your net on the right side and ye shall find. You got to be teachable. You know, it's amazing. Some people think because they matriculated at the University of Virginia, they went to Norfolk State, they went to NC State, they went to Duke University, they think that they are teachable. But you are not teachable if you don't have humility.
That's right.
And you're not teachable if you can't be corrected.
Yeah.
I don't know. I run into folk that just can't be told what to do. And that's a spirit that will hinder you from changing with your situation. Ah, I wish I had time to talk about that. Touch somebody and say, you got to be teachable. Yeah, but not only do you have to be teachable, you got to be trusting. Jesus says, cast your net on the right side and ye shall find. Now notice that the word indicates, this is not Pastor Matt talking, the word indicates that they didn't know who Jesus was.
That's right.
They didn't recognize him as Jesus. They just thought somebody was on the shoreline just telling them what to do. But you got to trust somebody.
Yes, sir.
And you got to trust God even when you can't even trace him. Do you not know trust? And I like the Hebrew tent on the word trust. It basically means to grab hold and to hold on. In other words, when Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Do you know what Job was saying? Job was saying, even if he don't come through, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to hold on in spite of how stuff looks in my situation. I'm going to hold on and hold out because God said it, and that ought to settle it. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, you got to hear God, then you got to believe God, and then you got to trust God. See, some folk don't believe and don't trust because they didn't hear what you heard. But if you heard what I heard, I said, if you heard what I heard, if you heard what God whispered in my ear, what got in my spirit, then you would believe what I believe and you would trust what I trust. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest. Oh, I wish I had some folk that would trust him. Touch somebody and say, you got to trust him. You got to trust him. You got to trust him. Don't hear the Lord say it's going to rain and leave home without your umbrella. You ought to trust him. But then lastly, you got to be thankful. You got to be thankful. Whenever God does something for you, you ought to have a thank you in your mouth. I don't understand how some folk get blessed and can't even say thank you. Come sit through a whole service. Don't even lift up their hands. Sit around like a knot on a log with the mouth all poked out. Act like they don't give God his due. But I came tonight to tell the Lord thank you. Thank you for being so good to me. Thank you for being my shelter in the time of storm. Thank you for being my strength, being my source, being my joy. Thank you. I wish I'd had a few thank yous in here tonight. I'm not going to hold you long, but somebody ought to tell the Lord thank you. God woke you up this morning, started you on your way, kept you when you could have lost your mind. You know you were on the edge, but God brought you back in. He reeled you in just in the nick of time. Let me just tell you, one of the things you ought to thank God for is for your participation in the blessing. They threw out their nets, Pastor. They threw out the net and they caught 153 fish. Threw out the net and caught 153. You ought to be thankful that God allowed you to participate in your miracle. You know, I don't understand it, but I hate to see an usher look like she's been fighting all night. You ought to be thankful that God allowed you to serve in the service. I hate to see choir members singing like they sing that they should have joy, but they're looking sad. You ought to be thankful. Yeah, your voice may be hoarse, but you ought to be thankful that you got a voice. You ought to be thankful. Oh, yeah, with the arthritis and bursitis and the other stuff you got going on, you ought to be thankful that God allowed you to walk in here tonight. And the devil is a liar that you're going to sit on God after all he's done for you. You ought to be thankful. Not only for your participation, touch somebody and say, I'm glad I can serve. We got a challenge at our church right now, Pastor. Campaign 100% participation and 0% uninvolvement. Because for some reason, people are joining the church today, don't think they ought to be serving. God did not save you to sit. He saved you to serve. You ought to serve. I'm not used to a church where you join the church and you don't do nothing. Oh, Lord, you got a job to do. God not going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, if you have not served. Touch somebody and say, you ought to serve. You ought to serve until you die. Well, God, I feel like hollering right here. But wait 1 minute. You ought to thank God not only for your participation, but you ought to thank God for his provision. I mentioned that they cast the net on the right side. Somebody holler said the right side. Yeah, they cast the net on the right side, and they came up with 153 fish. Now, the number 153 is symbolic of plenty and fruitfulness. But the old preacher in my hometown, Danville, Virginia, used to say that there was 153 fish because there was 153 kind of fish that was in that body of water. Which says to the church that when we go out to reach folk, we can't be picking what kind of fish. We gotta be open enough. Any kind. We need some crappie. We need some bass. We need some catfish. We need some sharks. We got them anyhow. But we need all kinds to come into the kingdom. Stop looking for the big shots and the bourgeois. The folk that's all uppity. And listen. They're more, help me somebody, ants than they're elephants. I heard pastor say this is the ninth month. I like that. But you know, elephants take 3 years. Yeah, elephants take 3 years to have a baby. Y'all crying about them 9 months? Elephant carrying it for 3 years. And you know, they said elephants about to become extinct because people are killing them so in such a rate that in 10 years there won't be no elephants. But you know what God revealed to me, Pastor? He revealed to me that some blessings that I have, they're elephant size. And 9 months ain't going to be enough. I need 3 years to get this one. Help me somebody. Yeah, it's so big, it takes more than 9 months. You ought to touch somebody and say, I'm still waiting on mine. No matter how long it takes, I'm going to wait until the Lord sends what he said he's going to send. Did you notice, if you read the passage, you notice this, you discover that when they got the nets full and they were bringing it in, when they got to the shore, Jesus was on the grill. Jesus is already got the fish on the grill. Now that ought to tell you something. It ought to tell you that whatever you're trying to get, God's already got it. And when you need it, God's already got it. I know we talk about he's willing, but I'm going to tell you something. It's already done. Some of you tonight ought to shout over the fact that it's already done. It may not have manifested because it's always revelation before manifestation. But you got to understand when God said it's so, it is so. And you got to act like you got it even though it ain't at your address yet. You got to act like it's. I wish I had a few folk that would act like they got it. I mean, act like they got it. Act like you got it. And whenever God does something for you, you ought to be thankful. It's like this, and I'm be through, Pastor. It's like this father who had two sons. One was a stepson, and he treated him like a stepson. The one son that his biological son, he bought him a room full of toys. Loaded up his room. The one that he treated as a stepson, treated him miserably. He put some pony manure all in his room. He came home expecting the one that had all the toys to be jumping and running and happy, but he heard him in there moaning and groaning. He went in the room and said, boy, what's wrong with you? He said, Daddy, you bought all these toys and didn't buy no batteries. Isn't it like some of us? But on the other side of the house was a boy that had the pony manure. And he was jumping up hollering, thank you. Hallelujah. Ran in that room. Said, boy, what's wrong with you? He said, Daddy, with all this manure, it's got to be a pony somewhere. your neighbor, said, all the mess you've been through, there's got to be a blessing somewhere. I wish I had some thankful folk in here tonight that will thank God. Oh, y'all might as well join in. I told my church Sunday, when I got in my car, God told me, said, to praise me in advance. See, it's one thing to thank God for what he has done. And it's another thing to thank God for what he is doing. But you ought to thank God for what he's getting ready to do. Can I get anybody to praise him for what he's getting ready to do? That new promotion, that new house, that new spiritual level. You ought to praise the Lord for what he's getting ready to do. Come on and say, thank you, Lord, for what you're getting ready to do. Any way you want to bless me, I'll be satisfied. I wish I had some satisfied folk in here that to say, any way you want to bless me, I'll be satisfied. I said you ought to praise him right now like you lost your mind. Don't worry about what they're saying about you. They're talking about you anyhow. Well, you ought to thank God for what he's getting ready to do. Say, Lord, Lord, I thank you for what you're getting ready to do. Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Bless his name. I've had some good days, and I've had some weary days, and I've had some hills to climb, but I'm glad that I can still lift up my hands and tell the Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You ought to tell the Lord, thank you. I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days. Yeah, some lonely nights. But when I look around, yeah, and think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. The Lord, he's been good to me. Really, 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 he's been good to me. More than you or this whole world could ever be. God's been good. Jehovah Jireh's been good. El Shaddai's been good. Has he been good? Has he been good? Has he been good to you, 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 you? He wiped all of my tears away. Turn my midnights into day. So instead of complaining, all I know how to say is, thank you, Lord. Been lied on, been talked about, been
was French, I would say merci beaucoup. If I was Spanish, I would say muchas gracias. But since I'm a nappy head African American, all I know how to say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I.
Hey, God. Oh God, I feel God in this place. Hey. If you've been having a problem with your back, you ought to stand up right now.
I won't. You can, but I won't. You can. I won't complain. Yeah. Send out a shout hallelujah right there. There's healing in praise. Send out a shout glory. There's power in praise. Touch my say, God is already working that situation out. You don't have to worry tonight, because you put praise on that situation. Yeah. Hey.
Come on and bless the Lord. Come on and bless the Lord. God bless you. While you're standing on your feet tonight, reach over and touch at least two people. And tell them you can recover. Amen. Amen. As touching and agreeing tonight, you can recover. Amen. God bless you tonight. Would you just for a moment, I don't intend to trouble you any further, but would you just for a moment, you just look toward this marvelous ministry of music. And thank them tonight with your blessings of hand clap. Come on and thank them tonight. I have been blessed. Amen. And again, there's a spirit that I believe ought to always be welcomed in God's house. And it's a spirit of worship. You can't wait to get here and worship. You got to bring worship with you.
That's right.
Amen. Too many of us wait on the choir and wait on the preacher and all that. You got to bring worship with you. That's why I can ride in my car,
yeah,
and worship. I can walk through the store and worship because I carry it with me. I'm just like the man said, don't leave home without it. And so we're very blessed. Thank you, Ramp. Please tell Bishop we said thank you. And you all are welcome here anytime. Amen. And to the ushers, thank you for standing. Adrian, Jess, and others, thank you. To our ministers, thank you. Dr. Dixon, Reverend Uriel, thank you. My friend, Pastor Younger, God bless you. Thank you so much. Love him. Love you all so much. Thank you all for your sacrifice. It's all about deacons and all about trustees. And thank you, Brother Richburg, for the sound work, and thank you for all of those others who've done what you've done. Ozelia and the ladies getting some water for the preaching. And everybody, thank you so much. It's been a good night tonight. We're going to get ready to go. But please now, tomorrow night, if you can bring someone with you, if you can grab somebody, don't grab them without their permission. There's a law against that. It's called kidnapping. It's called and duly sworn people. Police outside now. Lights was flashing a minute ago. Somebody in here, they've come to get you now. Tell them the preacher said you can recover. You're going to have to go to the magistrate, but you can recover. But I thank God for you tonight. Love you all so much. The Lord gave me something a little while back, and I want to just give it to you. It ties in with what the preacher said. Lord told me a little while back, every day celebrate like it's the last time you'll do that. You know, so if this your last worship night, did you give it all on? You know, every day celebrate like it's the last time. Every place you go, go as if it's the last time you'll be there. That way you leave nothing for regret. And so I'm thankful tonight for my friend, my brother, my pastor, Dr. Wesley K. McLaughlin. Can you help me thank him one more time tonight? Amen. Just in case tonight, before we go, just in case, Deacon Walker is always duly deputized to remind me. And just looking at him now always reminds me of what I must do before we go. So if you're here tonight and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, now listen, you can't have it partially. You can't want him to be just your Savior and then tell him he can't be your Lord. Pastor told you got to serve. That's part of lordship. Discipleship understands lordship, which leads to servanthood. And so if you're in this room tonight, I know you came by and you may not be saved. You may not be. And I said this on Sunday, and I'll say it again. Just because you go to church don't mean you're going to heaven. And everybody in church ain't saved. I'm glad you're here. Everybody in the hospital ain't sick. Everybody in jail ain't guilty. At least that's what they say. But I'm here to ask you tonight, please tonight, don't leave 1916 Florida Avenue without accepting the opportunity of salvation. If you don't want to join Greater Brookville Church, you're not listening to me, because I didn't ask you about joining the church. I asked you to give your life to Christ. I can send you to any church you want to go to. I got letters writing people. I got Tamika. She can write letters. Pat write letters. I got folk who I can say, write a letter to this and thus, and they'll say, yes, sir, and they'll get it done. But I need you to give your life to Christ. Because I know this. Pastor mentioned, and he's right, he didn't really put me out. He told me that the Lord's going to do something great. So I want to be honest and admit that tonight. But he reminded me of something that when he asked me to go help Pastor Reeves at Little Zion, he said, look, Doc, go out there. But what I learned from him is, because I was saved, I can go in any church and do the Lord's work. And so what I'm saying to you tonight, churches don't save you.
That's right.
Jesus saves. But if you get saved, you can go to any church and show your saved self out like you know. And so tonight, please, don't leave here. I want Deacon Walker to love me and be happy with me. Would you accept the Lord's salvation tonight? What this pastor was preaching about is Jesus. How Jesus shows up in both provision and allows us participation. But our praise ought to come because of his sacrifice. Nobody else would die for you like that. And so tonight, if you're here and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, would you come tonight? Amen. I'm not going to rush you, but if you'll come tonight, there's an old saying in the world that he who hesitates is lost. I've learned to move quickly. When I was in the military, I used to tell my privates, quickly, get here, and they'd move quickly. So tonight, salvation is what he's talking about. Because you can't go out there like that and not be covered. Trust me, outside that door, the enemy is waiting. Some of us going to get tripped going down the stairs. Some of us going to get tripped going on the job tomorrow. Some of us going to get tripped in our marriage, and some of us going to get tripped in business dealings. But you have a God who says, I'll watch over you. I'll make you aware of some things. Anybody in here ever got a heads up from the Lord? Amen. The devil is a liar. God is a God who sees and knows everything. Then tonight I also want to give you an opportunity for reconciliation. I ran into three of our disciples today, former disciples, really members of the Greater Brookville Church, and I said to them, haven't seen you in a while, and they gave me the same story others give me. Oh, Pastor, I just been busy. I said, you'll die that way. And he looked at me. I said, you will. All of us going to die doing something. But you won't have salvation as your entry point. And I said, listen, come back tonight and worship with us. You missed homecoming yesterday, but come tonight and be restored. And all three of them, I asked them, what church have you been going to? And they dropped their head and went, well, you know, Pastor, ain't no church like Brookville. I said, well, we haven't seen you in a while. Come on back. The Lord will kiss you on your face, hug you. We'll meet you with a rich welcome. Just come back, please. And they said, okay, I'm going to try. All right. But I don't see either of them tonight. But if you need reconciliation, God will restore you tonight. I said you can recover. I believe you can also be restored. Don't fall that far away. Be like Hansel and Gretel. Leave breadcrumbs so you can find your way back home. Amen. My mama told me when I left home in 1978, she said, baby, don't listen to your crazy daddy. You can always come home. And there were some times, Mac, when it got hard and I wanted to go home. But then I thought about much like your father did. My daddy told me, let me tell you something. When you leave here, don't come back here. Bringing no wife and children. I done raised all the children in this house going to be raised. Make it. You can make it. I think he was trying to encourage me just keep me from coming back. But it worked. Through the pork and beans and chicken wings and missed payments and phone calls, we hung in there. But you can come back to God and all will be forgiven. If that's not your lot tonight, I have one more offer for you. I have a salesman kind of attitude. Maybe you just want us to pray with you tonight. And I'll be glad to. Won't take all night to do it either. I heard Pastor preaching, and when he was closing, he told somebody, if your back hurts, you ought to stand up. I saw people stand up. And so I believe tonight there are others who have needs. It's on the right side of the boat tonight. If you'll just come down. If you don't feel like coming, that's fine too. But if you want to come, come down tonight. Bring your friend, bring your husband, bring your wife, bring your children. We're going to pray tonight. Prayer is a participant's activity. It's not for spectators. So you'll come tonight. There's an old song we sang in the church when I grew up that says, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Don't go out of here tonight heavy laden. I heard the Lord himself say, take my yoke because it's easy. And my burdens, they're light. I like going out light tonight. I was walking today, Deacon Walker. I had to make a stop. A lady looked at me and she said, are you Reverend Mitchell? I said, I was when I left home. Y'all know I'm always being funny. She said, I looked at, she said, I thought that was you. She said, it looked like you putting on a little weight, Reverend. I said, you didn't have to cuss at me like that. I said, but don't worry about it because I'm working on it. I'm on a diet. My wife is making me eat baked chicken and salads. I'm trying to get light. I want to get back down to my drill sergeant weight so I can fight the good fight. This old building is leaning because it's got too much bread in it. So I'm gonna tighten up. I'm going to get me a flat stomach and a bald head, and I'll be all right. I ain't going to grow no hair back. I know that's over. But I can do something about this right here. And so I believe the Lord is saying tonight that he'll make you light. Some of you look kind of weighed down tonight. Some of you were not able to lift your hands and shout. I ain't going to let the devil steal my shout. He might get my money sometime because I'm a little foolish sometimes. He might be able to cause me to slow down, but I'm going to shout. I've come to tell you tonight, it's in your praise. The hand you're holding tonight is precious. We have all lived yet another day because we're important to the work of the kingdom. We didn't die because there's still something to be done. Squeeze that hand very slightly and look at him and tell him, you still got it in you. Yeah. There you go. I like that. Y'all sound real. Y'all sound encouraging. That's good. I wish somebody would have squeezed my hand. I feel like I need some of it. Thank you. These people who are standing with you tonight have come by the same measure you have come. It's faith. They didn't come here to be seen. They didn't come for faith brought them. Here's what God is saying to tell you tonight. He's still ordering your steps. Bible says the steps of a good man, good woman are ordered of the Lord. The reason you were able to come is not by your own energy, but it is because of the expectation God has in your life. You are standing in a place of expectation. You want something. And God just told me to whisper, I got something to give you. You won't come in and out of here empty tonight. Expectation has met you. The Bible says he'll give you the desires of your heart. But there is something that folk forget to tell you. It comes in the next verse. If you commit your way and trust him, what I need you to say tonight is simply, I will. Father, in the name of Jesus, your children are standing all over this room tonight because we believe that your word is absolute. It's not up for debate. It doesn't have to get voted on. We don't need to say all those in favor. We don't need to call for the question. Here's what you said to us. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and we will find. And if we meet with obstacles, we can simply knock. And it shall be opened unto us. There is an effectual door that is open tonight. Enter in, children of God. Come on through. The veil has already been torn. There is a way that is right, and it is the way of Christ. Ask him and he'll give it to you. Your body needs to be healed tonight. Your family needs to be reconciled. You need that job. You need to hear good news from the doctor. You need that lawyer to call you back. You need that judge to show you favor. You need your friends to understand the value of relationship. You need your church to welcome you back. You need your pastor to tell you it's okay. You need the deacons to pray for you. You need the trustees to teach you how to manage your money. God is saying tonight, I'll do it if you'll commit to me and trust me. You've trusted others, now trust me. You've hung out with others, now hang out with me. You will ride or die with them, now be ride or die with me. I am the Lord thy God. I will do it. I will do it. It is done. In the name of Jesus. Squeeze that hand and tell them, neighbor, it's on the way. It's on the way. Stay right there. Wait a little while longer. Hang on in there. Help is on the way. Hallelujah. God bless you tonight. Go in peace. Hug at least four or five people. Say something nice to them. Kiss them on the face. Let them get that church makeup on you so folk will know where you've been. Please come back on tomorrow night. Bring some friends with you. Blue jeans, tennis shoes, it don't matter. Come on and worship with us. We'll see you on tomorrow. God bless you.